I think it's important to, you know, make people understand that it's all possible.
Right.
Right. In any circumstance, and organizations like ours, not to, you know, I might be a little biased and you might be as well, because we both love where we work. But I think organizations like ours are, we're trying to see what those barriers might be and develop programs and ways that we go about training people to kind of, you know, get past, bypass those barriers. Right. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Build Your Future podcast. I'm your host, Lauren Chikwin, and today we have with us a Jedi team member, Trisha Chase. So welcome, Trisha. It's great to have you here today.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Before we get started, I just want to start with a land acknowledgement. So I'd like to acknowledge that the Jedi office is located in the traditional unceded homeland of the Wolastoqiyik people. This homeland and all of New Brunswick are covered by the Treaties of Peace and Friendship, which Wolastoqiyik, Mi'kmaq, and Passamaquoddy peoples first signed with the British Crown in 1725. The treaties did not deal with surrender of lands and resources, but in fact recognized the Wolastoqiyik, Mi'kmaq, and Passamaquoddy title and established the rules for what was to be an ongoing relationship between nations. So, welcome, Trisha. Your official title within the organization is the Indigenous Adult Learning and Literacy Coordinator. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Awesome. Can you tell us a little bit about what that entails?
Certainly. So what I do is I go into the First Nation communities and facilitate different workshops around literacy. So whether it be digital literacy, financial literacy, pre-employment skills, resume and cover letter building.
Yep.
I also facilitate workshops on interview skills, job searches, that type of thing.
Great. That's wonderful. I think those skills are super necessary, and almost anywhere you go, I think they're super handy to have around, and maybe not everyone knows about them, so I think it's a wonderful opportunity to kind of chit-chat about that today. Now, some people might be thinking, oh, this is a skilled trades podcast, so how does your role fit into the skilled trades? So I think that's what we're going to probably get into today, and help people who in the skilled trades may or may not need some of these fundings. And of course, this is open to all, not just people, it's not specific to people in the skilled trades, surely.
Right.
But I think it's something that is necessary, and that in my experience, people from all different walks of life may or may not need this at different points in their lives. And I think if you're looking to get into the skilled trades, and particular, you know, these types of trainings might be a reason for you to maybe not apply to the skilled trades. I think just kind of getting this information out there so people know, you know, don't rule out these paths and these career paths just because you think the resources are not there, right?
Exactly.
Awesome. So let's talk a little bit about how skills like math and reading comprehension, digital literacy, which are all covered within your role, are crucial for succeeding in the skilled trades training programs, and maybe even certification exams that we know could come along with a path in the skilled trades.
Certainly. They definitely are crucial, because so for like math skills, if you're going to become a carpenter, you need to know math.
Absolutely.
You need to know how to do measurements.
Yep.
And so that skill is pretty important to know to go if you're going into that trade. Same as plumbers determining pipe dimensions,
yes,
those type of things.
Yep.
So math kind of comes into play with any of the trades that you're looking at doing. And then reading comprehension. So if you have to read a manual, if you have to read what you do need to do. So reading skills are very important.
Yes,
to understand for any safety procedures, that type of thing.
Right.
For the digital literacy, so nowadays everything is becoming digital. So it's not just the old school equipment, it is becoming digital. So many trades do rely on software and digital tools.
I think that's a really good point, because math skills and comprehension skills are something that are super important in the skill trades. And although when you are taking a training program, it's something that is included in the course, it might be a little bit more of a difficulty if you're adding this skill that you're now learning on top of new plumbing or electrical or carpentry information that you're also trying to learn. So I think these programs could really help people maybe bridge that gap to make it a little bit easier. Mm-hmm. So that's a good point. And the digital point that you brought up was great too, because in my experience recently, I've noticed that even certain training programs at different colleges, even the trades have gone and done certain classes online, for example, which is maybe not something you'd think of typically in the skilled trades. And I think it's important to kind of note that even industries like the skilled trades are also becoming more digital. So it's great. That's wonderful. Career planning programs help participants explore skilled trades as a viable career option, especially by aligning their strengths and interests with the opportunity in this field. Could you tell me a little bit more about that?
For sure. So kind of similar to what we were just talking about. So part of my program running, so if you want to become a carpenter, say.
Yeah.
Well, once you do your school training,
yes,
then where do they go from here?
Right.
So that's where my career planning programs kind of come into play. So with the job search, how to do a proper job search,
yes,
what you want to look for, and even prior to going into that trade, so maybe they're expecting a certain salary. So I go all over that on what to expect for a salary in New Brunswick. So maybe that's something like, ooh, I thought it was a little more than that. So maybe it's not going to work for me and those type of things. And so it just gives industry specific jobs to show what they would be interested in.
Yes, yes. And I think it's important to talk about those things when you're considering any career whatsoever. People might not know that when you start off as an apprentice, you know, you're starting off with a pretty low wage. I say low wage, and I say that in regards to the lowest you'll ever be within the skilled trades, because a low wage is relative depending on what job that you're into. That could mean a lot of different things. You're at the bottom of the pay scale, because you're just starting out.
Yeah.
And I think it's important, especially, you know, in different economic situations that we all experience in maybe different provinces of the world or the country. I think it's important to, you know, have those things kind of figured out and sorted out beforehand so you can make that decision, right?
And that's just for like any job
that
you need to know. That comes up with everything. You're going to be at the bottom of the pay until you get that experience, until you kind of work your way up and get some time in there.
Yeah. So you also do WEST training, which is Workplace Essential Skills Training. That's correct, right?
I don't do the technical WEST training.
Okay.
So I do my own version of it.
Okay.
So mine is what we call upskills for work. So it's very similar. It's the same aspects of the workplace essential skills. Yep. I do the 9 essential skills and then some.
Yeah.
But it's just not the through pedal. It's not done through them.
And but you've seen that the training that you do of your form of WEST training improves participants' ability to work effectively on construction sites, in workshops, or in apprenticeships. Now, I know that you may not be able to follow up with some of the students afterward because, you know, once you're out in the workforce, it's kind of hard to follow up with maybe every student that you've had over the years. But maybe could you talk about, in your opinion, how you've seen WEST, improve some of their abilities?
It has, because one of the aspects of the workplace essential skills or my upskills that I do is communication. So sometimes you'll see some people coming into the class who are very shy, who are very standoffish.
Yeah.
And then by doing these programs and getting them to participate and going over the communication part of it is the communication skills.
Yeah.
So by the end of the class, you can see them totally transform, that they become a lot more outgoing and they're not that shy person anymore. So I do find it does break them out into by having them in that classroom setting. And so now they're prepared to go into another classroom setting, a more formal one.
That little extra amount of support goes a really long way. It really, really does. I think we've all been there at different points in our lives, and it's just nice to know that you have that support, and it just helps you confidence-wise, and I think it's great. When you obtain your GED, it's like a stepping stone for accessing pre-apprenticeship programs and gaining ability for any type of a skilled trades program, right? It's kind of essential, one would say, to get into skilled trades programs, or any, but specifically skilled trades. Can you talk a little bit about your experience with helping people maybe getting their GED?
So the GED is really important to have, because most post-secondary schools require you to have either a high school diploma or a GED. Yeah. So that gives them that in to already get it, as same as the employers. Employers are looking for a certain educational standard. And so by getting their GED, that gives them that standard that already puts them in the running of having a chance to get that job.
Right, right. And I mean, the reason why I bring it up is just so people who could be listening, that they know that this is a potential resource that they could access to if this is a barrier for them, essentially, right?
Right, and it also instills confidence in them. So if you don't have that educational background, you might feel a little let I can't do it. Where if you have that GED, that's a boost. Yes. That's a boost to someone that, hey, I got my diploma.
Yeah, and it does take a lot of work to do. And I think it's important to, you know, make people understand that it's all possible.
Right.
Right, in any circumstance. And organizations like ours, not to, you know, I might be a little biased and you might be as well, because we both love where we work. But I think organizations like ours we're trying to see what those barriers might be and develop programs and ways that we go about training people to kind of, you know, bypass those barriers.
Right. And for some people, they might think too that if I don't have my high school diploma, I'm not going to be smart enough to do the trades.
Yes.
So by getting that GED, like I say, it gives them that confidence and then allows them, okay, I can do that. Yeah. I can do this next step.
Yeah.
So it allows them, opens up a world for them.
Yeah. Yeah. It's great. I've seen people throughout my life, people very, very close to me, feel for years that, you know, they, because they chose a different path in life to raise children, to whatever it may be, and they didn't have their GED, they thought there was no hope, not to be dramatic, but they thought there was no hope, right? And I think just kind of talking about the importance of this is just really important for people to know and just to get out
there. It is. And like I say, and it's for all ages. So I've seen people be past workplace time and they still want that GED because that makes them proud. I got my diploma.
Yes.
So any age group can do it. So, but get it while you're young so you now can form your career.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I've recently heard a little bit about another program that I think you'll be starting called the IM&M training. Is that right?
Right. So it's In Motion and Momentum.
Yeah.
So what it is, it's a 10-week program.
Yeah.
So that's broken down into three modules. So the first module is 3 days a week for 3 weeks.
Okay.
Which works on, it's a pre-employment program, but it works on you. So instead of just going and teaching the workplace essential skills, it focuses on the person themselves and the barriers that they're facing to kind of want to go out to the workforce or go into post-secondary. So it builds on their confidence is what that whole first section is to make them confident in themselves. And then the second module, which is the momentum piece of it, it's more of a collaboration. It's a teamwork. It's focusing on doing something for your community. So as a group, we come up with a project, a community project that we work on together. So it forms that teamwork for them and get them used to that instead of being on their own. And that gives them that confidence that they can work with other people and they can do. So that's the second module. The third module is more of a follow-up. So after the first two, essentially the program is finished.
Yep.
But the last, what it is 2 days a week for 3 weeks, and it's more of a follow-up. So at that point, the participants get to choose each day what they want to see happen. So perhaps they agree that, okay, we want to see a resume building. So how do I make my resume?
Okay.
So we'll do 1 day focusing on that. So they pick what they want to do, what they would like to see in those last 6 days.
Okay. Yeah. And I think what comes to mind, like, initially is that those hit all major areas, I guess, that a skilled tradesperson would benefit from.
Right.
You start off with working on themselves. I think if you're getting into skilled trades, and this is like not specific to Indigenous people, I think anyone at all, with the exception of people who are born and raised around and are familiar with skilled trades people, it could be an intimidating career path to get into for sure. If you're learning from the beginning. And I think to develop those skills on your own interpersonally could really help with that aspect.
Right.
And the second section.
So that's the one working on the community project.
Right.
So there you're kind of still getting parts of the workplace essential skills because it's all treatment on communication. Communication is key. We're working as a team. So they come up as a team and they decide what the project is. So everything is them. It's not trainer led. It's more participant led.
Okay.
So they get to decide what they want to work on.
Yeah.
So we all agree and come up with a project that we want to work on. So everyone kind of picks a piece of that work that they want to do, and we kind of come together as a team to formulate whatever it is they want. So whether it be we're going to do a community garden or we're going to do a community cleanup day, they get to pick what they want to do, what they think their community needs.
Great. I mean, that's just wonderful in general. Like, even if you're not, you know, specifically talking about it in reference to skilled trades, I think it's a skill that anyone could benefit from. And it also pairs really well with this, you know, sector of the workforce, because as a tradesperson you're always working around not only your own team but a lot of other contractors too. And I think it's a really good practice or a really good opportunity to build those skills with being able to relate to other people and kind of maybe delegate different opinions and that sort of thing. So I think that's great.
And there's a lot of problem solving that would go on with it too, which basically with a lot of skilled trades, that's what you're doing is problem solving.
Yes.
How can I fix this? How can I make this work?
Right.
So with our community project, it's the same thing. So they got to, if you have eight people in the group, everyone has to kind of come to an agreement. So we have some problem solving. What do we want to work on?
Yep.
Maybe a hitch comes in of, oh, something happens this day. We can't do this. So we got to problem solve around this. So all those little things do come into play and kind of might not really look like it belongs to a skilled trade skill, but it really in essence does.
Yeah, and I think it's important that you said that because I learned the same thing when I entered the skilled trades. I went in with an idea of how I thought it was going to be, and it ended up being a lot different for the better. I went in with a pretty positive outlook, I would say, but I didn't realize actually how diverse it was. Like specifically plumbing, for example. There are a lot of different pathways that you can take, sure, but I didn't really know about, you know, working with all these other contractors and that other companies would be there all the time. And they're not necessarily, like you said, things that you would immediately associate with the skilled trades, but they're also skills that people, I don't think, talk about enough because they are super important.
Right. It's all the soft skills that you need to have to go into any workplace.
Exactly, exactly. And they're not, people might say for the skilled trades you might be exempt from needing to know them, and I don't believe so. So right. I think it's great that you do that. So we're talking about the IMNM program, your In Momentum training. Is there some eligibility requirements that people might need to meet to be in the program?
So yes, we are. This program is run through the Canadian Career Development Foundation, and they did our training for us. And so we're going into the communities on their behalf to promote their programs and to train their programs. Part of their eligibility criteria is the person does need to be unemployed. So whether it be on disability or on social assistance, on EI, they need to be not working.
Okay. And so when you take in the participant and I mean, you haven't done the program yet, so I'm not going to, like, specifically... I know that you can't speak to, like, success stories, for example, because you don't know yet, right? But just let's... Hypothetically speaking, for me personally, what comes to mind is we have an unemployed person. They pass through the training, okay? That's like, bound to kind of create, like, a ripple effect in Indigenous communities, that maybe help people get into, not just the skilled trades, but maybe other programs, that would definitely have a positive impact on the community as a whole, right?
Right, because sometimes when people see someone else's success, they realize, oh, I can do that too.
Yeah.
And especially the program, from the testimonials and the feedback that we're getting from other facilitators of this program is that once the participants do finish the program, they are all eager to continue on, to move on from there, whether go directly into the workforce or go into the education system.
Yep.
It's having a great impact. This program is really impactful. So if someone really enjoy the program, they're more apt to say to someone, oh, the next time they have one, you should go in also.
Oh, right.
So it kind of promotes the program even from within, from word of mouth.
Yeah.
So I think it definitely would impact the community in a positive way.
Yeah, it's almost self-promoting in that way, right? Because if it has such a great impact, and naturally more and more people will want to participate in it, right? And just that on its own, anytime you look at a community and you see people on average who are feeling better about themselves, about their lives, and they see, you know, potential career opportunities for them in the future, I think I speak from, you know, my personal opinion when I say this, is I think that positively impacts the community as a whole, right?
Right.
Yeah. So, Trisha, I know that you had mentioned earlier that the IM&M training hasn't actually happened yet. It's going to be taking place at the beginning of January, is that right?
Correct. So right after the new year, so January 7th, we're starting our first class. It is going to be with the three First Nation communities in the Fredericton area. So we're still recruiting for that program.
Great.
But yeah, that'll be our first one, so it's quite exciting.
Okay, and where can people find the information if they're looking for eligibility requirements?
They could find it on the JEDI website, on our Facebook page, as well as if you contact your employment training officer for each of the communities.
Okay.
They can point you in the right direction as well, because that's who we're partnering with.
Great. I mean, you must be excited.
Yes.
New undertaking for sure. But I think it has a lot of potential.
It does, for sure. And that's why I'm really excited, because it does have so much potential and so much potential to have an impact on the person, whether they do decide to move on from there. It's just going to build them up so much that's really important for us as well. The hopes is that they will want to move on from where they're at right now, that they've built that confidence up in themselves to realize that yes, they can do this, and yes, they can go find the job that they want, or they can decide to go on post-secondary school or get their GED if they don't have it. It's going to be that boost that they need.
Yeah. Well, I think it's great that you're doing this, and I wish you all the best in the new cohort in the new year.
Thank you.
I know from what I hear from other people, you do a wonderful job. I know you've come into a trades training program that I've coordinated recently, and I've only ever heard good things. So thank you very much for that. Really, really appreciate how much that you are involved in a lot of different programs within the organization. And I think what you do is super, super important to the workforce as a whole. So thank you for that.
Thank you.
If any of the programs that the viewers heard us discuss today, whether that be the IL training that Trisha provides through our organization, or the In Momentum training that'll be happening in the new year, if any of the things that we discussed might be an option for you, or you might be considering at all, feel free to reach out to the JEDI office at info@jedinb.ca, and we can get you connected to Trisha or any other coordinator that you may be interested in taking a program through the organization. So don't be shy to reach out, everyone. And thank you for joining me today, Trisha.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. This is the Build Your Future podcast, where we explore the opportunities, challenges, and inspiring stories shaping Indigenous careers in the trades and in the workforce in general. And if today's episode sparked an idea or answered a question or even maybe encouraged you to take the next step, we'd love to hear from you. Follow us on all social media platforms at JEDINB to stay connected and keep building your future with us. Until next time, stay inspired and keep striving toward your goals.